Hello everyone, I'm Sarah Peacock and I'm delighted to be here today with Mark Davis, a Lely customer who has a herd of 235 pedigree Holsteins at Newhouse Farm close to Haverford West. So Mark, perhaps you could start by telling us a little bit about the farm.
Yeah, certainly Sarah. It's a 235 acre all grass farm. We're reasonably lucky. It's all flat. We can harvest 95% of it. The other 5% is a little bit marshy land where we keep some heifers to graze that in the summer months. But apart from that, then we were very lucky to be able to get the silage equipment on the whole of the farm, really. So that was one reason that sent us down the robotic path, really, that we knew that we'd be able to make more silage because we need to keep them in. And the farm is suited for that reason, really. We try to keep the pastures for the grassland reseeded every 5 to 7 years to make sure we got fresh new lays to make the best possible silage we can. And we're very lucky to have all the land round in one area within half a mile around the yard, so it keeps the diesel costs for travelling silage at a minimum.
Now, when did you start at Newhouse Farm and what was it like when you took it over?
Well, Caroline, my wife, has been here all her life, and they've been milking about 100-120 cows here for some time. And when me and Caroline took it over about 5 years ago, the parlour had come to its end of its life. It was 44 years old. The slurry system had come to an end. And the cubicles were not fit for the cows, really, so we had to have a complete new system. So it was the choice of starting afresh or maybe finding something else to do. So we decided, because the pair of us are into our cows, we decided to go along the route of a new build, a greenfield site. We looked at a few different systems, and obviously at that particular time, 4 to 5 years ago, labour was starting to become quite an issue. So we suddenly thought about going robotic. We went to see a few systems. Obviously, our cows suited robotics because we're a high-yielding herd anyway. And we could put the shed of our choice up, which we wanted to do, to suit the robotics. And we thought then we'd include the slurry system in that as well. So we sort of put it all together in a package and seen what we could come up with. And we came up with a shed that we did, that we don't need to scrape it. Feeding is easy. We don't have to move any cows at any time, so the cows are left alone. And obviously they're milked as well themselves, so we can concentrate basically on management issues only, which frees up our time and obviously frees up labour. And it's worked. It's we've been very pleased with what we've done. Obviously, we went to see a lot of systems away from here in England and the southwest, and we took some ideas from them, and we implemented it here at home.
So perhaps we can just go back a step, and you could describe what your main building for your dairy herd looks like and how it's set up.
Well, it's a bit of a mirror image shed, really. We split it into two halves with a centre section. We've got 120 cubicles with two robots one end and a very similar system the other end with another 120 cubicles and two robots. We've got a large calving and sick bay area in the middle, one side, and then a handling facility for vet visits then the other side. So we've got plenty of room to manoeuvre cattle, whether it's TB testing or anything like that, really. So we made the shed to suit handling issues as well. We put obviously the four robots in then to handle 50 to 55 cows each that was milking. We try to aim to have between 210 and 215 milking at any one time, and that is pretty much then the maximum that the four robots can take.
Have you got room to expand any further?
That is one, I suppose, drawback and advantage. You can look at it both ways with the robots. One, you are very limited to how many cows you can keep. But then at the end of the day, you can't keep too much, because I think it is sometimes, as it has been, a dairy farmer's little habit, really, of keeping too many cows in the shed. And I think we've all learnt sometimes when you keep too many cows in the shed, the milk tends to drop, but you don't really realise that until you get rid of some, dry some off, or get some out the shed, and you realise that the milk doesn't drop. So it's been a known saying for years, really, that there's only so much milk in the shed. And I think it does help you when you have plenty of heifers coming in. Then you've got to make a cull of some of the cows that are on the bottom end, whether they've got mastitis, cell count problems, feet problems, any other problems, really. You may be shifting them out of the shed and out of the system before you have too many problems with them. And I think then you have a healthier cow to sell as cull, and maybe a little bit better price, and then less hassle at the end of the day.
So that's actually obviously been a benefit for you. I think also you've seen quite a big increase in yield since you installed the robots.
Yes, well, we've seen a little bit more than what we thought, really. When we came in to the shed, we were averaging a tidy 9,000 litres per cow. And we were averaging sort of about the 4.15 butterfat, which we were happy with. And we were hoping and expecting to get a yield increase. But then at the same time, we were prepared to see a drop in our quality of milk, really. We did expect the butterfat base to go down a little bit, but it didn't. So we've now in the last month or two hit 12,000 litres, and we're averaging at the moment about 4.4 fat, really. So yeah, the quality has gone up as well as the quantity. And that's all, I think, due to not only the robots, but probably the shed setup, being having plenty of room for the cows, not too many cows in the shed, and having plenty of ventilation right round.
And how's that affected your profitability? What does the extra litres actually bring you in terms of income?
Well, you do your sales, farming, you do your sums nearly every day, and you work out if your quid's in or quid's out, really. And when we put the shed up, we realised that there would be quite a healthy mortgage on it, plus the loan for the robots and the equipment as well. So when we moved in, I had realised that we needed to have about 1,200 litres per cow extra to pay for the mortgage. So you do your sums from there, really. You know, it was sort of, we needed to go up to 10,500 litres a cow for it to pay for itself. So we've overshot that in about a year, 18 months. And now things are working for us, really, because it was a huge investment at the time. And like I said, we were a little bit sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place. We either went for it or didn't. So things had to work, and we made them work, and we listened to the right people as well. We listened to Lely with their advice about about the layout of the shed, what we should do and what allowances we should make for the cows, room availability, feed spaces, settings on the robots as well. So we've listened to them and done what we could, and we've had the return from it.
Well, it's great to know that you're looking at a better profit now and a few more pence in your pocket for this big investment. Now, I think your cows are pedigree Holsteins. How have they adapted to this change?
Yeah, brilliantly, really. I think the Holsteins are a little bit lazier cow, and they want the food there in front of them. And yeah, it suits them really well. We were a little bit concerned whether we get enough visits, and I think it's always a farmer's sort of, you scratch your head when you're going from a conventional system into a robotic system. You see somebody else's system work and you think, are our cows going to go in? But yeah, it was a hard month to start off with, obviously, but we got them going, and they've come into it really good. And we came into the shed with 240 cows, and I think there was only, we didn't fail with one, but I think we got rid of two or three then after that just wasn't liking the system much. But that was only two or three. That's, well, almost less than 1%, really. So the heifers, now we've done a little bit of a different routine with the heifers. We've brought them into the shed about a fortnight, 3 weeks before they calve, to get them used to the cubicles and the layout and the setup. And then after they've been in there for a week, 10 days, we collar them up and send them in the robot for a training session, really. They have a little bit of feed and hear the robot working. Obviously the robot doesn't go on them, and gets them ready really for when they do calve. There isn't too much changes then. They've been out in the shed, they know what's going on, they've seen other cows going into the robot, and they come used to the system really quick.
So just spend a little bit of time explaining to me the feeding of the cows, because obviously they're housed all year round. So do you cut grass and carry it to them every day?
We don't zero graze. We do five to six cuts of silage. We managed to do six this year. Five I really planned for, but we sort of cut every sort of 28 to 30 days. Last year we did sort of 32 to 33, but I think it just depends a little bit on the weather. If the weather is there at the time and the silage, the crop looks reasonably tidy, we cut it. So we try to make this best quality silage we can. That obviously then gives us higher energy for the cows, and we can save a little bit then on buying, because the cows eat a fair bit of bought-in feed. We can we don't have to increase the quality of the feed to save a little bit of money there. So we feed 3 to 4 kilos of concentrates blend in with the silage through the summer. We buy in maize contract in the winter. We start it in sort of end of September, October, and try to follow it through as long as we can into the spring, as long as maize is available. And then through the summer months, then sort of May until August, September, we're on silage only then, because there's not much maize about the place to buy. And obviously we haven't quite got enough ground to make enough silage, so a little bit of feed is bought in then to supplement it really. And then feed then in the robot, then they're on an 18% protein cake, and fed to yield. So obviously the more milk they give, the more the robot feeds them. And when they're confirmed in calf, they're put on a DLM system, and basically then it's it just feeds them, then it doesn't overfeed them, and it just drops their cake slightly as the lactation goes on. And then when they're ready to dry off, about 3 weeks before, it drops them almost to nothing then, so that it helps in the drying off procedure for the cows.
Now, you talked a little earlier about ventilation in the shed. I believe you had some massive fans fitted. Why did you go this route, and what do they add to the overall well-being of the cows?
Well, when we put the shed up, we kept the shed pretty open on the both sides, and which is pretty good for airflow. We put a curtain in on the north side because the farm is facing north and it's pretty open, and in the winter it can get pretty cold if the wind blows from the north. So we put that in initially, pretty much straight after we started, and worked really well. I think the first two summers we were in here, it was everything was fine. We didn't have too many hot spells, but then we had a hot spell in August 2019. And the air was very still in the shed, and it didn't do the some of the cows very some of them had bad mastitis, a bit of heat stress, so we suffered a little bit there. We lost one or two good cows and had a few health problems, and we realized for the summer after that we better put a little bit of ventilation, fresh air in there. So we seen to some fans. We put six large fans in back in May this year, and they've played a massive part in keeping the cows healthy through the very hot spell we had in July, really, when the temperatures got to 30 degrees for 7, 8, 9 days, I think. And that's when we really seen that, well, touch wood, we didn't have one sick cow. The milk dropped very, very little. And we noticed the cows that were lying down underneath the fans pretty much all day. And that played a massive part, and I think that pretty much almost paid for the fans in one summer, 8 days, I reckon.
Gosh. Well, that's good. That's good news. While we're still talking about robotics in terms of Astronaut, what benefits have you seen from installing the robots in terms of animal welfare and health?
I think especially for fresh cows, because the Holstein now is fed so well and they're bred to milk, They just get the chance to go in 4-5 times a day and be relieved, rather than milking them twice a day. Obviously, when you go up to 3 times a day, you need more staff. It's more of a problem. But when we were milking twice a day, we noticed fresh cows. We had to watch that we didn't feed them too much, not for them to fill up too much, if you know what I mean. So then we were restricting the potential of what that cow could achieve. So by installing these robots, you can get the full maximum potential of what each cow can achieve. And by the robots feeding them to yield, obviously the good cows that's giving 60, 70 litres a day are having plenty of feed, enough. And then if you've got a similar cow that's calved at the same time and she's not yielding so much, she has less cake anyway. So, you know, you are feeding very, very efficiently in the system, I've noticed, compared to, you know, the previous convention system. But there are systems out there now, mind you, that, you know, do tend to recognize cows when they come into the parlor and do tend to feed yield. But I think the opportunity for cows now to be milked 5 times a day is a massive help for them. It helps the longevity of the cow, keeps her healthier, and obviously she's not waiting in a collecting yard for an hour or two before being milked. Maybe waiting for an hour or two after being milked for the sheds to be cleaned out, fed up, cubicles to be done. So, you know, she's at her own time, really, and it's very, very leisurous for them now.
How many times do you see your cows going back to the robots? I appreciate that varies depending on the yield of the cow, but what would be the average number of visits to an astronaut?
We're currently doing anything from 3.2 to 3.4. I think the clock is basically averaging around the 3.3. I think that's where Lely wants you to really be any more. You should be trying to get more milk off them per visit. So I think we're aiming to have about 8 to 9 litres off per visit minimum. So the refusals with us at the moment are a little bit high. That's basically because we're not feeding enough outside, really. So we're in the process of putting a dry cow shed up, because the dry cows are with us in the same shed at the moment. Facilities aren't ready yet, so we can't obviously give too much feed to them outside, because we don't want the dry cows getting too fat, really. So yeah, I think that's the next step now. When we sort out facilities for the dry cows, we can increase the feed outside in the fence, so hopefully then it will reduce the refusals of the cows coming in looking for feed, and hopefully then we can get things, spike things up a little bit again.
Now let's talk for a minute about calves, because you do rear a lot of calves on the farm, and I think you've got the Calm calf feeder. Tell us a little bit about why you had that installed and what that does for you.
Well, yeah, we had the calf feeder because I'm feeding all the calves. Wife helps as well, obviously, but I'm the one there with the bottle feeding them morning and night. And at times there's 30 to 40 to feed morning and night. So what we did then, we invested in the feeder, and she'll feed up to 30 calves on one unit. But we can't expand how many units we get off that one machine anyway, so we can't expand off it. But generally we don't have any more than 25-30 at one time. Calves are born, obviously have colostrum for the first 2 days, and then I bring them up to a separate shed where I feed them myself then for probably 10 days to a fortnight usually, and then I put them on the machine, and they're healthy, they're strong, and they work up from there, and they can have up to 8 litres a day per calf, and then it rears them off then after 2 months. So the reason we did, they do say that you can put the calf on earlier. But what we noticed is if you put a 7 or 8 day old calf on the machine, sometimes you'll have the problem of the older calves that are coming for weaning, they'll be allocated less milk in the machine. So then all of a sudden they get to know that these young calves are coming in having full amount, and they'll sometimes bully the small calves, bully them from going in, and they're taking their share. Although the collar does switch off and the machine does know what calf is what and won't give it to them, they'll still try. So what we've noticed, if we can hold on to those calves for another sort of week, and make sure that they're really strong going into the machine, they'll fend for themselves. So then obviously then there's a does a good job of monitoring them, and we know how much, what percentage of their allocated volume they have every day, so we can keep an eye on it 3-4 times a day. And very rarely we have any sick calves off it, and they can visit the machine as many times as they want. Even if they're only having small volumes, the machine will remember how much it had last visit, and still says it's got allocation. If it comes in again, it can have a little bit more.
And how much labour has this saved, do you think? How much of your time has this saved?
Oh, this has saved probably an hour, both ends of the day, really. At least 3/4 of an hour anyway, because it used to be that's all I was doing was feeding calves, and obviously I think health wise as well they're better. You tend to do a good job. At the moment I've only got 4 or 5 calves on the bottle, and because I've only got 4 or 5, you spend a bit more time with them to make sure that you're doing them right, instead of rushing off to do, making sure that you do them in 5 minutes, because you've got another 30 to do, really. And the sooner you can get those few to do right, to put on the machine, the better off you are. So I think, although you've saved time, you've saved more time in doing the job right.
Yeah, and your management of them has improved as well with the information that you get back. I mean, it's very useful to know. You know exactly what each calf has had each day, and you can easily pinpoint an issue if there's one coming along and be ahead of it.
Well, that's right, and it's quite interesting sometimes, because we usually put them on in pairs or threes, depending when they're born, and sometimes you'll see when they're at their full allocation, one will drink 8 litres a day, the other one might be only on 5 or 6, and you think, well, why isn't she having one? But we make sure we've got fresh water there every day, and you do notice the odd one drinking more water than others, and some will come on, and they'll come on exactly the same weight. And just one needs a bit more milk than others. And in that system then, it allows the calf to have more. It's just like I said to you about the cows milking, really. You'll have 2 cows that will calve the same day. One will hit 70, one will only hit 50, and they'll be given the same. It's just it's a bit like us humans, really, isn't it? One will work more than the other, and one will behave a bit better than the other.
Yes, you get good and bad doers. Unfortunately, I'm a good doer.
That's right.
So apart from the robots and the Calm calf feeder, what other Lely equipment do you have?
Obviously, when we put the slatted floor in for the cows for the slurry pit, you've got to have some sort of scraping system. So we bought two scrapers, one each side of the shed. They go around every hour on the hour and scrape the passages. That makes that saves a job, keeps the passages clean, and obviously then keeps the cow's feet clean, less disease in the cow's feet. And then obviously, because the cows are kept in all the time, if the cow's feet are dirty, they'll be bringing that up onto the cubicles with them, into their beds, and making the beds dirty. So by keeping the passages clean with these automatic scrapers, keeps the beds clean, and keeps disease at bay. So the scrapers has been a massive investment, and I've been quite surprised how reliable they are, really. We hardly ever touch them, they're plastered in muck all the time because the cows just play with them and muck all over them, but they just keep on going and keep on doing their job. And because they're going at a slowish pace, the cows don't take any notice of them at all, and works really well. We also put some cow brushes in as well, keeps their coats clean. Keeps them clean, keeps them contented as well. There's a fair bit of equipment that we put in that's used and works quite well.
The scrapers are what's known as the collectors, yes?
Yeah, well, there's 2 types of scrapers, really. The collectors we haven't got. Collectors is basically a vacuum type cleaner, really, which sucks up the muck on the yard and then brings it to an area where it can deposit and leave it go. Because we've got a slatted floor system, there's room for the slurry or the manure to go all the time. So basically it's just like a small little scraper, just cleaning the surface all the time. We haven't got a collector, but I know there's a few out there and working quite well. So we were fortunate, really. We didn't have to invest in any of them. We've saved a little job for the scraper there by by putting the slats in.
And then I believe you're looking at the vector feeding system potentially for the future. What interests you in vector?
I think basically it can get your feed a little bit more accurate. It can feed up 7 to 8 times a day, so the cows have fresh food. The cows are brought up, there isn't so much food going stale, although we feed twice a day. The food is kept relatively clean and tidy for them anyway. But also then it'll save a job. I think there's 3/4 of an hour a day going to feed up, to mix a load and put it out. So basically we've got equipment, a Keenan feeder wagon. It works quite well. It works very well, I should say, and a tractor tied to it. They will need replacing one day. Keenan probably will last us 2 or 3 years again before we'll have to think about either changing it or moving on to something else. So I think that's why the vector will probably come into it. Instead of investing in new machinery, there's an opportunity then to move on to an automatic feeding system. And then that's all we need to do is build a shed for a feed kitchen, and so that we can put the feed in there and go from there. We need a little bit more storage space for feed anyway. So perhaps you can kill 2 birds with 1 stone then.
Okay. And I'm interested really because you and Caroline have a young family, and I know you very much want to be able to be part of their growing up process, and want to be able to spend plenty of time with the kids. Has robotics helped that at all? And was that one of the key decision makers? Because I know labour is becoming an increasing problem on farm. How many labour units do you have apart from yourself and your wife?
We've got 2 part-times. Graham comes in the afternoons. He just does basic jobs. And we've got Aled coming in for 3 mornings a week. He helps us then with some other outstanding jobs that needs to be done. And obviously then I get him fully involved with all the routine work that we do with the cows, and any medication that needs to be done, any robot work that needs to be maintained, and thing. I try to get him involved in anything we can. So then when we do have a day off or go off somewhere, then off from the farm, Aled knows what to do. So Aled doesn't do much more than probably 20 hours a week, and Graham something similar. So, you know, you've got two part-time workers there. And we're managing, yes, I suppose we could do with one more, but we manage with everything that we have to do. And, you know, we're not sort of at it from 4 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. We do manage to finish at 7 to 8:30. And if we need to finish a little bit early, we can. You know, we're not really tied to having to start milking at a certain time and finish at a certain time. We can, you know, we can close the window on the length of our day a little bit if needs be, if there's something on. It has changed things a lot. Although you may, you know, some people will say, yes, you are tied more. You are, you know, there is things that does go wrong outside hours, and that's the way robotics are. But in all fairness, then they're very reliable. And if you've got the system and if you've got the cows right, it will save you a lot of time, and you can work around things, and you can find hours of the day that you didn't think you had.
And in terms of the management information that you're getting back from the robots, that's something people talk about a lot and say that they're able to manage the cows a lot better. Have you found that as well?
Oh, definitely. And I think to start off with, it probably time is the first thing, that you've got time to look and use the information that's given, rather than being flat out with the day-to-day running of the place and having the chores all to do, the milking, the scraping and everything, and then you haven't got time to actually physically look at individual figures. It took us a couple of months to start up and get going, and then we could look at, you know, what the cows are doing, what we could improve, what needs to be done, what cows were doing really well, what cows, you know, that we weren't going to breed from again, basically, because they were either slow milkers, you know, not performing very well. It's a very good indicator then of how much sort of feed to milk you were given each one. There's plenty of information health wise as well. You know, you're not keeping a farm medicines book for the cows, and it's all on the computer. And then when you put in cow that has mastitis, it comes up then how many times she's had mastitis before, and then all of a sudden it gives you a reminder before you even asked for it, really. And you can sense, well, okay, this cow is giving more problems than we need. We don't need to breed from this one. And it also highlights the good ones as well, so you can pick and choose. It gives you a big picture of what's happening in a very small little bit of information, really. And you don't need to be an expert to work it out and pick it up. So it's very handy that there's not a lot of work to do to get all this information to you.
And were you very technologically involved before you got the robots?
I'd sort of probably say mediocre, really, a little bit. You do what you need to get through, I think, isn't it? And it's a bit like anything, really, with the phones or anything. You do what you need to, and if you don't need it, you don't do it. So it was a big learning curve when we started on the robots, but they're pretty simple. It's pretty, self-explanatory, and you do get into it a little bit more. And I say, you have a little bit more time to learn a little bit more about them anyway. So you're not so pushed, you're not quite so tired, and you do have a little bit of time to hold back a little bit and find a bit of information, that little bit of extra information that you need.
Looking ahead, how secure do you feel dairying is in South West Wales? And do you see more farmers looking to, let's say, new technology and robotics to help them run the farms?
Well, I think that's pushing all the time, really. New technologies has been, well, on the cards for probably last 10, 15, 20 years to a certain extent. And I think we're all using them, whether it's a new machine to sow fertiliser, and the contractors here at the moment are spreading muck. They've already got their sort of meters out with them, slurry flow meters, to know how much they're putting on per acre, for them to know what they're doing for these NVZs. There's new technologies that we're all using all the time, and I think sometimes it just takes a few people to use them correctly before we pass the message on, really, that it's very useful and very helpful. And I think now this labour issue will push more people into, you either do it this way or you maybe back off and get out, really. It's the labour issue has been ongoing for years, but at the moment I think it seems to be at a critical stage with a lot of people. And you either push on and you do it, because I think that was 50% of the reason why we went to robotics as well. It was sort of, well, we had to believe that everything would work. It works with some people, why shouldn't it work with us? So that's why we went for it. And it does encourage Alid, that is working with us now, working here anyway, because he knows that it isn't full on too much work at the moment. It's just sort of management and sort of the way that to handle cows, the way to get things done. You're not going to work and sweating for 3 or 4 hours, and you're tired at the end of it. You've gone and you've done a tidy day's work, and you're not tired at the end of it. And it's been a pleasure to do it.
And you have time to spend with your children.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yes, yes, and that's important, really, because you don't want children growing up never seeing you, and you're out, the mummy and daddy's out there at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, not finished night after night after night. Well, you soon get into their heads they're not going to do it, then, are they?
I'm sure. Well, thank you very much indeed for talking to me. I think that's been a great discussion, and I'm pleased that you've been perhaps one of the earlier uptakes of quite a large part of a robotic system, and that it's obviously doing very well for you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, it was, obviously we're not the first in the country to do it, but there was plenty in there, so we needed to move on. And I think me and Callan aren't scared of having a go and moving on, and a pair of us have got a good work ethic, so we went for it. And it's there are a lot of things in life. If you want something to work, it will work. And for anybody out there that is keen on the cows and works with the cows, it will. And that's all I got to say, is make sure that if you are doing it and going into robotics, get your buildings right, get the cow flow right, and things will work for you.
Thank you.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.